This episode of Talk Central is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time.
I'm Richard van den Berg.
I'm Nafisa Akabo.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 245, for our last show of 2018.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central. You can WhatsApp the show. The number to use is 071-999-1111.
On Talk Central this week, we look back at the year that was.
That's right. We pick our best smartphones and gadgets of the year.
We also talk about the biggest local and international news stories and have a look at what 2019 might have in store.
It's Wednesday, 19 December, and it's time to talk everything technology.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, guys?
How's it, Duncan?
Good, good.
Welcome, Nafisa. Thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
And we are going to be talking our biggest picks of the year, from TV series to gadgets to
smartphones,
newsmakers, smartphones, everything.
Is there anything other than smartphones? It's just about smartphones. That's it.
He waves his iPad
only
around.
Dick.
It's going to be a fun show, though. Lots and lots of fun stuff to talk about. But before we get into it all, let's do our quiz. Nafisa, do you want to do the first question?
Sure. So Naspers said this week that it'll launch a secondary listing on which stock exchange?
The second question, which South African politician this week joined Twitter and in short order had more than 100,000 followers?
And which British entrepreneur this week bailed out the Bloodhound supersonic car project, which wants to use a South African desert as a staging ground for a land speed record?
And what did Elon Musk's tweet, "I'm considering taking Tesla private at $420, funding secured," cost him?
That was funny. Fifth question, and we do have a bumper edition this week. We should have said that, Duncan. The fifth question, what is Alibaba's new singles day record within 24 hours for 2018?
That's right. We've got 10 questions in our bumper year-end quiz this week. The sixth question, according to the new Cyber Crimes and Cybersecurity Bill, sharing someone's personal information on social media could land you in jail for how long?
And the seventh question, what is currently the second largest cryptocurrency by market cap, after Bitcoin? And for a bonus point, which one is the third?
And the eighth question, in 2018, which became the first technology company with a market capitalization exceeding $1 trillion? And for a bonus point, which company became the second tech company to reach this milestone in 2018?
And ninth question, which company has since overtaken both of the companies in question eight to become the most valuable company in the world?
And for your last question, what are the names of the two vulnerabilities that were discovered in Gen and affected nearly every CPU manufactured over the last 20 years? And for a bonus point, how many variants were discovered?
That's our extra long quiz. We'll be with the results at the end of the show, as always. But we're going to skip the usual news feature this week, and we're going to dive straight into our picks of the year. And we'll start with possibly the most important category, and that is our pick of smartphone of the year. We're going to start with runners-up. And then we'll pick our winner for the year. I see from the show notes that it's pretty conclusive.
I was very surprised by that, to be honest. I was very surprised that I chose it. But
I was not surprised. I knew Duncan would probably go with the same.
Well, I'm actually surprised you chose it, Nafisa, knowing that you're an iPhone user. But let's do our runners-up first. Nafisa, what is your runner-up smartphone of 2018?
Shockingly, my runner-up is my own phone, which is the iPhone XS.
You're not allowed to choose your ownsies.
Well, it's a phone I'm currently using. That's
how long have you had it for? How long have you been using it for?
Since November.
Okay.
But yeah, just over a month, 6 weeks. It's for me, the biggest improvement is the camera. The Smart HDR, it's amazing. I don't get washed out photos anymore. And just overall speed. I mean, that's what you'd expect from Apple. If I can say it with air quotes, like, it's a safe choice. Yeah, but as you all know, that I am an iPhone person, and this was my next phone.
Yeah. Why, as a matter of interest, not the Max?
That is way too big for my hands. Even when I went to 10, I still found it a bit too big at 5.8 inches. Mm-hmm. But as with keyboards, you kind of get used to it. But I don't think I can go bigger because I also want my phone to fit in my pocket, which is important to me. You know, I mean, I don't like keeping it in my bag just in case. I don't want it to get, like, pickpocketed or anything. Yeah. Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. So it has to fit on me.
So you can almost say that the screen isn't really excessively big. You can hear the crickets.
Yeah, so that's my pick.
Richard, what's your runner-up?
As you know, Duncan, I've been an iPhone user for a very long time and only recently upgraded to something else. But yeah, I would have to agree with Nafisa. The XS is, in my opinion, the best iPhone at the moment. If I were to upgrade, that was the one that I was going for. In fact, when I did do my upgrade last month, I did look at it thinking maybe should I go back and go back to the Apple ecosystem. But yeah, the phone that we chose obviously blew me away. But yeah, the XS is a very safe choice, but it's a great phone. I mean, in Apple's you know, long heritage of producing great phones, it just I guess it just wasn't exciting enough for me.
All right,
and we'll see why when we choose our.
Yeah, that's why I say it was a safe choice because you know what you're getting.
All right, so as a runner-up then, by majority rule, the Apple iPhone XS is the runner-up smartphone of the year. I'm going to break from the crowd and choose the Samsung Galaxy S9 as my runner-up smartphone of the year. Beautiful device. We did a podcast on it, Mafisa, earlier this year. I just love the display. Far too big for you, I'm sure, if you find the iPhone XS
too
big.
Just to quickly check, it's Note 9 or S9?
The Note 9.
Okay.
Note 9, yeah.
It is a beautiful phone, actually. Mm-hmm. I love the screen. The curved
I probably
edges.
Would have put the S9 in third place, to be honest.
Note 9 would have been my third.
Okay.
Yeah.
Above the S9.
Above the S9, yes.
Okay. So, but there we go. Majority vote rules. So the iPhone XS is runner-up of the year. And I'm astonished by who has won this year, because I don't think this manufacturer would have been considered in the top three in previous years for smartphone.
Definitely.
And we have all chosen unanimously that the smartphone of the year is the Huawei Mate 20 Pro.
We're so mainstream, guys. But let's be honest. I mean, it's the one phone that came, well, that launched in South Africa, apart from the Apple ecosystem, that really just brought something fresh to the market. I'm not saying every feature is completely breakthrough, but it just had a good package of everything, in my opinion. And yeah, I'm sure you can agree, Duncan. I mean, we both ended up upgrading to it at the end of the day.
Yeah. So we're both running the Huawei. You're on the Apple. Maybe you'll be persuaded to move across at some point.
Well, I am using it as my secondary phone. I actually have two SIM cards in it at the moment.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that. But you got a review unit that supports the two SIM cards.
Yes.
Because the local versions you get, you don't get.
No, UK launch.
Mine is two SIM.
But does it support two SIM cards? Because I think they only have one IMEI number.
Telkom and Cell C sell the dual ones.
Vodacom and MTN sell the single
SIM. Obviously.
Okay, that's why.
But yeah, it goes everywhere with me. And for me, the night photos are just, there's nothing that can compare to it.
It's stunning. I was doing some night photography the other evening. It was almost completely dark. There was a sliver of a moon. And when I looked at the photos I'd taken afterwards, it looked like they were taken at dusk or even during the daytime.
So it's beautiful Leica, baby. But also the macro for me is one of the features that stand out. Because I often sit and do relatively close-up stuff, you know, photograph your beer and that kind of thing. But the macro, just I always blow people away when I show them the macro photography. Or just close-up on a beautiful piece of wood, you know. It just pops. It makes a photograph something completely different.
And I take tons of food pictures, as you may know. And also the macro comes in it. Or like portrait mode and stuff. It really makes my food pictures pop. Everybody asks me, like, what phone are you using? Never mind the food. Like, what phone are you using? Yeah.
We should shout out to her food Instagram channel. If you don't know, she's got one.
But that super macro mode is absolutely incredible.
It is.
I love the fact that it's automatic. You just move your camera close to something and it automatically pops into super macro mode.
That's very clever.
Yeah, the AI. I mean, not all the features work well. The blurry, I'm not a fan of the blurred depth effect that it does when you take of people and stuff. I mean, sometimes it creates a nice effect. But it doesn't come close to the real thing. I think that's the only place where these cameras come close.
Yeah.
Have you used the wireless charging feature yet? Have you charged anybody's phone yet?
No, I haven't charged anyone else's phone. And I must say I'm very disappointed because I got a free Huawei GT smartwatch as part of my deal. But it doesn't support wireless charging, so you can't tap it onto the phone, which is really silly.
Yeah. Oh, they kept it for the upgrade, Duncan.
Yeah.
Version 2.
That ability to charge a phone, it's a bit gimmicky, but I suppose it would have uses.
It is gimmicky because it's too slow.
Yeah, look, it's a very slow, but it's the same, it's a, what's the 5-watt charger?
Yeah.
What do you charge your phone as, 10 watts max?
When 40.
You charge? No, I'm talking about wireless charging.
Oh, wireless. Mm-hmm.
I think the maximum charges you can get is a 10 watt. Well, I've been looking around, the maximum one I can get.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's in a pinch. What I can see a lot of couples using this, like, you know, husband or wife charges the partner's phone because the battery's running. I can see that happening a lot, not just out of charging because you have to. It's just while we're sitting having dinner, let's just trickle charge this phone. It's a nice feature for that.
Yeah, but my husband and I, we always carry power banks.
Yeah, but
I think
you guys
doing
are
that.
Yeah, it's because you're an iPhone user.
Most couples are one geek and one non-geek. That's, to be honest with you, that's how I see it.
Well, I think Huawei also spoiled me with the super fast charging. Like, if I forget to charge the Mate 20 in like half an hour, I think.
It's amazing.
It's 70%, if I'm not mistaken.
It. Yeah, you don't need to charge it.
You don't need to charge it overnight anymore.
I don't. So I charge mine mid-morning when I'm sitting in front of my computer doing work. It takes half an hour. Time I finish my coffee, the phone is charged until the next day at roughly the same time.
Exactly. I think that feature spoiled me also, because now I want that on all my phones that I'm using.
The battery life is unbelievable.
Oh yeah, you're never going to run out.
Yeah, that 4,000 milliamp hour battery is beautiful.
I've gone 2 full days on that phone of moderate use, and and it's still been going.
What blew me away is the fact that my screen is on all the time and it's lasting that long. That is what gets me. It's on more because it's still a novelty in many ways. So like, I'm still utilizing the screen all the time. Everything is bright. Mm. Everything is ultra HD in my games that I play, just to kind of push it. And I haven't been let down.
Yeah.
Have either of you tried the performance mode in it when you play games?
I haven't. No.
No.
In the battery settings, there's a performance mode that pushes the
I think I have seen it, but I haven't tested it.
I mean, I haven't like
I'm
benchmarked.
Surprised you haven't.
I've benchmarked it a little bit. I mean, it's a slight performance in terms of physical numbers on a 3D Mark. But yes, I mean, if you're playing PUBG and stuff, it definitely feels a lot more responsive. But I think also developers need to kind of develop for it. You know, make sure that you can push, because most game developers won't be developing for these high-end smartphones in general. Unless you're playing a game like Asphalt is very good for graphics performance.
Well, I hotspot from mine. Like a modem, man.
Yeah.
Yes, it's the loss. Yeah.
It lost.
It's incredible. I absolutely love it. And you got dual SIM.
Yes.
I'm jealous of that. But no, Duncan did warn me. He did warn me in his defense.
Incredible, incredible phone. Battery life. We didn't mention the in-screen fingerprint reader, which is also...
How did we forget about that?
Which is also incredible. I mean, that's the first mainstream smartphone that's had a built-in fingerprint reader. All the phones will have them next year, of course.
Yeah.
But it's so cool.
It is a nice feature. Yeah. I find that the face unlock almost works quicker sometimes.
I do prefer the facial unlock. I'm just sad that the FNB app does not support facial unlocking. But
even
it supports
on
iPhone. It supports on iPhone, but not on the Huawei. I have to use my finger.
Presumably it's coming.
Interesting.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, I used my fingerprint for my banking app. Yeah. So maybe it is a universal thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, it's not such a major...
No, when you're used to it and like without pressing your finger, you know.
Am I the only one that tends to pull a face when my phone unlocks? I don't know. My PC was the same thing. When I open it to unlock, I just always do a funny smile. I don't know. It's just a weird habit that I have. Maybe it's just me. And when I don't do it, it doesn't unlock. And I'm like, what's going on here?
So there we go. Well done, Huawei. It's Huawei's had a very bad year in other respects, not least its problems with the US government. But from a gadget perspective, the Huawei Mate 20 Pro beats all comers.
And they also became number 2 smartphone manufacturer in the world
this
year. No, that was incredible. I do like where they're going with their designs and what they're trying to achieve. Mm-hmm. But did you see, just on a side note, on the whole Huawei debacle this year, that apparently Germany is going to be using their telecoms equipment, and they did a full scan of it and they went through everything. They said everything is, the Huawei equipment is fine. There's nothing to be worried about, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah,
considering everybody else opting not to use them.
A lot of countries have pulled the equipment. I saw, is it Double E in the UK that's pulled, or BT bought Double E, and now BT's pulling Huawei core equipment out of its network. Australia's banned Huawei for 5G, so is New Zealand, the US, of course, and France is looking at doing the same thing. It's interesting.
But Germany is a tech savvy industry, right?
Country.
So yeah, if they deem it safe, I would be happy to not doubt that. So, but yeah, we never know, I guess.
All right, so let's have a look at the next category, and that's we didn't pick video games of the year. We've rather chosen video games we've played most this year, and they didn't necessarily have to be released in 2018. And I actually have a feeling none of these games that we've picked were released this year, except possibly Nafisa's pick.
Yeah,
but Rehat. What is the saying? Winner, chicken dinner.
Yeah, sadly.
You weren't going to choose anything else, were you?
No, look, this is definitely the game I've racked up the most amount of hours. I won't disclose that number. We might keep it for a quiz at a later stage. But let's just say there's 3 digits in that number. PUBG, Battle Royale games in general, what a fantastic genre that's just popped up in the last 2 years. Mm-hmm. Most notably, I think Fortnite, we can't not mention them. But PUBG for me is certainly one of the most fun games I've had. Even the mobile game is a lot
of fun. Fortnite is more aimed at kids, isn't it?
I wouldn't say it's aimed at kids. I actually started off playing Fortnite last year before I got into BattleG, PUBG, on my MacBook, which is great for Fortnite. You know, it works on almost every platform. Mm-hmm. It's more cartoony in that sense. You do build a little bit, and you've got like more, you know, cartoony style play. And I think that's what appeals to a broader generation. But it's certainly not just a kids game. I know a lot of
older
people.
It's popular with them.
Popular with them, and they certainly popularized it. Mm-hmm. But I also read some interesting things about Fortnite, that it's a social hangout for kids, and they don't focus much on the game.
Oh.
They rather chat to each other and just mess around, and that's a very interesting aspect. You know, where PUBG, again, in my opinion, is more serious. So you go there, it's a more serious game, more older people play it, I guess, if you compare it like that.
Yeah, it actually brought two friends' sons together. They weren't actually friends before until they started playing Fortnite, and they were chatting to each other all the time.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Oh, it shows you.
So PUBG, how much PUBGing are you going to be doing this December holiday, Richard?
You should rather ask how much have I done so far.
Well, how much will you not
do? No, I'll be doing a few hours. It's a lot of fun. But, you know, PUBG in short bouts is best.
Yeah.
If you start getting stuck there for 10, 20 hours, and I'm just joking, for 3-4 hours on end, it can get a bit frustrating. But it's a great game for that. And that kind of runs into my runner-up, a game called Scum, which is kind of a slower play version of PUBG. Not quite Battle Royale full-on, but it's more aimed at a survival-style gamer. So you have to kind of, you start off with nothing, and you have to pick rocks, to cut wood, to build things.
Is that game still in early access?
Yeah, a lot of updates and development happening all the time. So it's they're introducing vehicles now at some point.
Mm.
It's one of those games that I'm scared to play because I don't want to lose my progress. Because if somebody kills you and they loot your body, then you have to start over, like PUBG. But it takes you so long to get to that point where you have everything you need, like a backpack with guns and scopes. And so yeah, well worth checking out if you like that kind of gameplay.
So that's Scum and your pick of the year, PUBG.
PUBG, without a doubt.
Nafisa, you're a casual gamer. You're not a hardcore PC gamer.
No.
What's your pick?
So I'm choosing Beat Saber. It is a PlayStation VR game. I used to be, back in the day, love my Guitar Hero games. And I know they were.
I love Guitar Hero.
Yeah. So I got very excited when I first saw the trailers for it. And now that I finally tried it. Initially, it was challenging because I didn't quite know what was happening. But now that I do know, I'm getting on my streaks and it's really fun. But you know what for me is the most interesting thing? So my Fitbit actually picked it up as a workout.
Nice.
Waving my arms in the air. And I actually made my 5 exercises for the week. It was so crazy. But it's fun. I mean, waving your arms about sort of like with lightsabers, but to the beat of a song.
It's a new spin on gaming the system, right?
Yeah, and also I have to point out the VR headset. I have used bad VR headsets before that have given me a headache. But on the PSVR, I had no issues. It was just seamless. Nice. Like, I love the experience.
Is there a non-VR version, or do you have to play
I
VR?
Don't think so.
No, it's a VR game.
Yeah. Okay.
Is it everything, all those blocks are coming at you. You want to be playing it. And
yeah.
Oh, that's a game, right?
Yes, that is right.
So what beats does it have? What music does it have?
Very, like, dance-like and techno and... No mainstream songs, from what I've seen.
And no progressive rock either.
That's not very good for dancing.
Yeah, so I think you can unlock. I have to check if there's more, but like I've just been playing whatever's on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But it was loads of fun.
So that's Beat Saber for the PlayStation 4.
Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm.
My runner-up pick this year is a game that Richard introduced me to, and curse him forevermore for doing so. And that's Party Hard, which is absolutely cathartic in the way you can just go and massacre people if you're annoying you. Basically, the premise of the game is you're trying to get a good night's sleep, and your neighbors are making too much noise, having a big party, so you go in there and surreptitiously murder them all. It sounds very violent, but it's 8-bit graphics.
8-bit violence is not
bad. And the idea is to kill everyone off before the cops catch you or someone beats you up. It's hard to describe, but it's cathartic. So Party Hard. And Party Hard 2 has just been released, and I must say I'm very disappointed in it. I don't know if you've been playing it at all.
I played a little bit, yeah. It's a different game, which is... I wouldn't say I'm disappointed with it. It's just a different learning curve, I think, to get into it.
Maybe I need to spend a bit more time with it, but... I was really hoping for the original premise, maybe just with improved graphics.
Or just more variety of that style.
Sorry, what platform was this on?
So Party Hard runs on Windows. I'm not sure what other platforms.
Oh. I think it's Steam only. I think
it's a Steam only game.
Okay.
I think it's a Steam only game. But if you haven't played it, I highly recommend it. It's it's good fun. It probably runs on Mac, but I'm not sure about.
I think it does run on Mac. Yeah, I'm sure it does.
And my pick of game of the year, which I have, like Rekord and PUBG, I spent a ridiculous amount of time playing.
How many hours?
Hundreds of hours.
You know, Steam tells you how many hours you play.
Huh? Let's check. It's a game called Train Valley, and that's available for iPad and for Windows, possibly other platforms, but I'm aware of those too. Basically, you get to play a railroad tycoon back in the late 1800s. And you've got to control these trains running through that you've got to build. You've got to build all the tracks, and you've got to control the trains going from station to station, and you've got to prevent them from crashing into each other. It sounds like a basic concept until you start to play it and realize how maddeningly difficult it is, and also huge fun, because you know these trains will crash into each other if you don't control them, and you've got to return them to the stations. And each time, what do you call those things where you change the direction on a railway line? Railway switches or whatever they're called. And you end up with dozens of these in the game and trains running everywhere, and you've got to control these switches.
Like a puzzler.
And you've got to make sure that they get to the right stations within time. If they don't get there in time, they dispatch themselves from the stations. Absolutely addictive game.
That sounds fun, actually.
Maybe you should get the SRL agency to look at these and maybe jack up their skills on how to switch trains. That could work. It could really work, let's be honest.
It's not a 2018 game. There is a new version out, Train Valley 2, which I haven't played yet. And I'll probably be getting that maybe even this Christmas and giving it a bash. So, yeah, those are our picks of games of the year. Beat Saber, PUBG, and Train Valley. Now, the important category of gadget of the year, excluding cell phones or smartphones. Nafisa, what's your pick?
Mine is the Google Home Mini, the smart speaker.
Mm-hmm. Where did you get it from?
I received one as a birthday present, and I bought some in Japan.
Okay, some.
I think I bought two more. I think my house has four now. But they are selling them on Gadget Tatsuya or Gadget Shop, and one day only had them. But what I like about it now is I also have a Chromecast, and I can just switch my TV on by just speaking a command. And all my lights are now Wi-Fi enabled, and I can just control my light switches. Nice. You set timers on the outside lights as well.
Which lights do you use? Is it need to be a compatible brand or something, Philip?
My husband
or?
Bought them on Amazon. I'm not sure. Okay. They were much cheaper than buying anything locally.
As usual.
Yes,
of course. So there's a lot of things on it, and then we try to play our music, and obviously I irritate my cat by asking Google to make cat sounds.
Oh my word, that is funny.
I do that with my dogs.
I know Duncan does that with his dogs.
I didn't know that was a thing. So what, then it mimics
animal noises? Yeah, no, you say, hey
noises.
Google, what does a cat sound like? Or what does a dog sound like? And then my cat gets excited.
Like everybody's Google just went to
yeah.
What a cat sounds like.
And just general things like if I'm traveling, like what's the weather wherever, and what's the traffic to Santon City? Random things sometimes I ask it. Or stuff that you would normally type up in Google, you can just ask Google. It's like the new way to search.
No, I haven't done that transition yet to use search. I've got friends that do. I must actually make an effort of using it because everybody raves about it. It makes sense.
Yeah.
Voice search.
Yeah.
Yeah, just saying anything to your...
Like, I do it all the time in the
remind
car.
Me to do this.
Mm. And then another feature, because I have multiple in my house, it's a broadcast feature. So instead of me screaming across the house to my husband, I tell Google to broadcast a message, and then it plays it on every other speaker. Like if I'm in the kitchen, I tell it won't play it obviously in the kitchen speaker. It'll play it in every other room, which
That's
is quite
brilliant.
Fun.
That's
like walkie-talkie.
That's
a
cool.
Fantastic feature.
Yeah, it's fun.
That's very cool.
So that's my gadget.
So you basically, it's to irritate the cats and the husband.
Yeah.
Fantastic. That's my product of the year then too.
But yeah, I think smart speakers are going to take off next year. I also have an Amazon Alexa, Echo Dot.
Which is better?
Google for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
So the one thing that the Amazon does really well, it's to switch, like when we're leaving home, we tell it automatically to switch all the lights off. For some reason, we haven't gotten that to work on the Google. That we can do individual, like switch a bedroom light on. But with the Amazon, we just say switch all lights off or switch all on.
And you've got them running in parallel.
Yeah. And also, like, if you're out and about and you forget to switch a light off, you can just go into the app and switch your lights off and on from your app.
It's very cool.
You know?
And it gives you a little dashboard, what's on.
Yes,
and you map
exactly.
out your house and you can see That's very cool.
So I'm trying to get a lot of smart gadgets. Now I want smart blinds, smart aircons. I'm, like, so into this. Yeah, that's my guess.
Looking forward to pick of the year 2019 then.
I'm just a bit nervous about these smart speakers and how much they're actually listening.
The recording. You can go into the app and delete the stuff periodically.
Yeah.
Like what you asked it.
Are you noticing ads based on conversations you're having with your husband?
Oh, no.
You're not?
No.
Not yet.
So anyway. I'm very, with all my Google services, I use like very obscure secondary emails. I created a separate account for the household.
Oh, clever.
Yeah,
clever,
I will never use my primary and secondary and whatever emails for that.
Mm. That was always the thing that like made me wonder how it would work, because if it is linked to a person's account,
then it's going to pull other data. Yeah, it's going to know where I'm flying. Hey, you're going here. Are you packed?
So anybody can then tap into it. Yeah, that was the only thing that made me like, nobody talks about creating that third account to say this is the house's account that you should be using. Because if your kids go on there and start asking random stuff.
And then we've added ourselves as primary and secondary, like even with the Amazon. So it's useful.
Nice.
I must get one of these smart speakers at some point. Would you ever consider getting the Apple one?
Never.
No.
You know why? As it stands, you have to be using Siri all the time, which I don't, and you have to be big into Apple Music, and I prefer Spotify now. So if you're using those two in your life every day, then yes. So I do find it limiting. Mm. So that's why I wouldn't. Mm. I'm very impressed with what Google has done.
Mm. Cool.
Richard, what's your gadget of the year?
So this is something that launched recently, and I was absolutely blown away by just not just the quality, but what this thing can do for people like me who enjoy shooting video. And it's the DJI Osmo Pocket. And it's essentially, I don't know if you saw the new Mavics that launched earlier this year. They've got all new cameras. And this is essentially a handheld version of one of those cameras. And it really is the first time that they've produced, I mean, their previous handheld stuff, even their handheld Osmos for your smartphone work fine, but they kind of not really that solution you want to strap on when you go mountain biking or something. Now, this is something that the GoPro, I forget what it was called, GoPro handheld.
The Hero,
but they had their handheld, remember they had their handheld gimbal that plugged into the drone.
Oh, yeah.
And that was always a great feature because you saw the video of the guy strapping it into his jacket and he just goes running or hiking or whatever. Now, this is kind of the same concept. And it's tiny, too. I mean, it's smaller than the palm of your hand. I mean, it's
I love how portable that thing is. It's like literally called a pocket for good reason.
Yeah, exactly. And it comes with a very nice carry case. That's the other thing that's really, like, with the Osmo, it's like it's difficult to transport that thing. You have to kind of wrap it a bit and then put it in the camera bag. So for people that enjoy making videos, it's nice to see this technology coming out. It's going for about $7,000, so it's not the cheapest camera you can buy. Mm. But again, you know, this will replace your GoPro action camera, which also goes for about the same price, but it's got this gimbal head stabilization.
Yeah.
Now, having said that, you have to say that the GoPro stabilization and the new cameras are also fantastic. But this just, again, this just brings another dynamic in good old DJI fashion. Mm-hmm. So if you're into that kind of thing, definitely worth checking out the Osmo Pocket, available now.
Great stuff. And my pick of gadget of the year is actually something from Apple, and I've got it in my hands right now, and that's the brand new iPad Pro 2018 12.9-inch version, and I love it. It's amazingly powerful.
I think you were eyeing it from the time it was launched.
From before it was launched, actually. It's expensive, but it's worth it. It's more powerful than most laptops in the market. Rechard was just playing some PUBG on it earlier in full HD or higher.
Yeah, no, it wasn't Ultra HD, isn't it? I believe it's just for a normal HD. But yeah, it looks beautiful, absolutely beautiful. And the sound is incredible.
Have you reached a point where you take only the iPad to maybe a press conference?
No, but this device is mainly for use around my house. I deliberately didn't get the cellular version.
Yeah.
So it's still primarily a media consumption device, but I'm also using it to do some work on it as well. I haven't got a keyboard yet, but I'm thinking of getting one. I was looking at the new Logitech, well, it's not that new, Logitech K780, which is a very nice Bluetooth keyboard where you can mount your cell phone or your iPad.
Yeah, I've seen those. Device. They're really good.
The pen support is fantastic, although I dropped mine on the floor and I need to replace the tip. It cracked.
For some reason, I thought you'd get a spare inside.
Not with the second generation
pencil.
Apple is taking all those things away, pushing prices up. In fact, the price of the pencil has gone up by $30 compared to the first generation one. And they took the spare tip away.
Hey, if you've got household insurance, it is an out and about item.
You want to insure your pencil? What?
I can imagine that call to the insurance company. It's really good. And one thing I'm blown away by the way, is the support for Apple Pencil in Microsoft Office on the iPad. Microsoft Office on iPad is an amazing piece of software. Microsoft Word, Excel. It's basically as full-featured as the desktop version. But the pencil support in Microsoft Word and other Office apps is phenomenal. You just take out the pencil and you can start drawing anywhere in a Word document. You can then share that with someone who's running Word on desktop. I'm not sure if it's only Office 365 users. I'm running Office 365 on my desktop.
I think that's a cloud feature.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's really good, and lots of great apps. Procreate, which is a drawing app for the iPad Pro, and of course Photoshop is coming soon.
Looking forward to that. Good. Mm-hmm. Also, while we're talking about the pencil, can we speak about how you can charge it properly now?
Yes.
No more awkward.
The previous
plugins.
One was so ridiculous. I'm sorry.
How did not everyone break?
It was so impractical.
Yeah, you had to plug in the back of the pencil straight into the iPad.
That's the only place you could charge it.
It's ridiculous. How does it charge now? Wireless, yeah.
It attaches to the side magnetically, snaps onto the side of the iPad.
And it charges wirelessly.
Which is a major improvement. And you're also less likely to lose the damn thing.
Well, essentially, you're never going to have to think about charging it.
It's
going to be charged.
Exactly. There's only one thing I want to pick on about this device. I really like the fact that it's gone from Lightning to a USB-C connector, which is a major improvement. But while you can connect something like a DSLR to the bottom, you cannot connect an external storage device, which is really silly.
Walled garden.
Next update.
Next update. They need to do a lot of work on iOS to really bring out the power of this device to make it more PC-like.
Mm. Yeah, that I agree with.
I think iOS is kind of letting the hardware down a bit here. But I'm quite hopeful that they're going to do a lot of improvements in iOS 13. And the talk, certainly the speculation I've read on some of the online blogs, is that iOS 13 is going to be an iPad-focused update.
Nice. Yeah, it definitely makes sense if you look at where the company is focusing. Mm. The notebook market is certainly not where they're focusing on as much anymore.
No.
And that's always been the one thing limiting with the iPad. It's really that, with the high-spec versions, it's just missing that one desktop PC-like feature.
So I think we better take a quick ad break. We're going to be back in just a moment with our app pick of the year, our TV series of the year, and much more.
BitCo is revolutionizing the way businesses connect. We're taking on your connectivity challenges and shooting our high-speed fiber internet across the country, not just for some, but for everyone. Fiber is not a luxury, but a necessity for business, for life, for you. And being connected is everything. So network with a Tier 1 internet provider and take your business to the next level of connectivity. bitco.co.za. Connectivity is everything.
Are you a search engine? Because you found me.
I feel we have a strong connection.
Well, you're pretty fly for a Wi-Fi. Should we drop it like a hotspot and head back to yours so we can show Max and snuggle? Let's get giga with it.
But I don't have fiber. Don't get caught in 50 shades of delay. Broadband your horizons and switch to Vox's super-fast, super-reliable fiber network. Experience the momentum. Connect your world. Visit us at vox.co.za/fiber.
Well, welcome back to the podcast. How's it, Nafisa? How's it, Rechat?
How's it?
Okay.
Merry Christmas, guys. End of the year. Can you believe it?
6 days to Christmas.
And all my deadlines are over.
Don't talk about deadlines, because I'm still working.
Yeah, me too. Don't worry.
Okay, my deadlines.
So, app pick of the year. Regular listeners to the show will know we do an app pick or a product pick every week, but it's the end of the year now, so we're going to get around to picking our favorite app of 2018. Rechat, do you want to do yours first?
Yeah, can you guys believe, I can't believe that this only launched in South Africa this year. It feels like a lifetime ago.
It does.
But my choice, and this is purely because I've used this app virtually every day since, it's Spotify. Mm-hmm. And I'm a big music fan, so I listen to music all the time. It just also changed the way that I like to listen to music. Well, it kind of adapted to the way I like to listen to music by letting me create playlists in a specific way. It kind of just keeps playing music when my playlists stop with music that's similar to my playlist music, and then I discover new tunes, and it's fantastic for that. I absolutely love it. Seeing what other people are listening to, so it's a bit social in that aspect. You know, I can see what some of my friends are listening to. I've discovered new music like that. And also just going to an artist and just seeing what their top songs are. And it's just very easy to navigate from there. But the other thing that really, that I really love about Spotify is integration with applications like algorithms, DJ, which I often use to listen to my music or to record. Okay, you can't record if you listen from Spotify, but it allows you to create playlists from those sessions, those mixing sessions that you've had. And I thought it's a great all-round application.
That's a good
if I only had to have one application on my phone, it would definitely be Spotify.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay.
I'd probably have to pick Google Analytics.
I'd choose F&B probably. Oh, my banking app.
Yeah.
Well, that would be boring. You can only play banking. What?
Only check your it's like I do everything from it. Like, you know what I mean?
No, for sure. But I'm talking about in a fantasy world where we don't have to worry about money, Nafisa. This is only music listening.
Be a good subject for a future show, actually. Yeah. If you had to choose three apps that you absolutely would not delete from your phone,
yeah, three sounds more doable.
Yeah, three sounds. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah. It would be a boring iPhone if you only have one app on there. Isn't that just a feature phone?
But a good pick, Spotify. Yeah, it's amazing. It was February, I think, it launched in South Africa. And I've switched across. So I was a Google Play Music subscriber before. What were you using before?
I was using Apple Music. I actually recently cancelled my Apple Music.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Because I had both. Yeah, I'm using Spotify now. Mm-hmm.
The thing is, because, I mean, we all use different platforms and we tend to always change the platforms. And the frustration with having an Apple Music was great, but if you're limited to that platform, you lose your playlist. And my thing is, I spent so much time creating these things. Mm.
Spotify has been around for so long. They're obviously the number one for good reason. They also support a lot of things, including my Mini that's like from 2010.
Nice.
Or 2012, sorry. Yeah, I can plug it in and it all reads it. I can see my album artwork. I love that. Yeah, yeah.
Your Mini?
My Mini, my car.
Oh.
Yes, the infotainment system, as dated, I'm saying, as it is. Mm-hmm. It's still support. There's been Spotify support on my Mini for years now.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah,
it supports every device, basically, I think. Every platform. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
It's because they've been around so long. And they. I remember hearing about them first, probably a decade ago when they first launched. I had some friends in Germany who was on the beta, and they showed me, and I was blown away. Mm-hmm. And obviously since then, you know, the fact that they integrated with so many companies, you know, they were one of the first, and they just managed to get there.
I actually signed up with them, you know, back in the day when you had to reroute and lie which country you're from. And then I found it to be a bit of effort, so I left it. So I was very excited when they actually came.
Oh, I also got to keep my username because of that.
Yeah. Well, so you pay a lot less in South Africa than you do on those.
Yeah,
$60 a month. I mean, it's actually it's no brainer.
I feel bad for artists sometimes. Like, what money are they making? I think they make virtually nothing. That's
a very real thing. No streaming services really offering artists. That's why I always try and support. You know, especially local guys that I know. If I go to their concert or something, I always try and buy a CD. Even though I can stream for free. I'd like to collect the CDs, but
I used to do that back in the day. Like buy iTunes albums.
Okay. Because but even then, I guess they probably make more money if you buy a CD directly from them, you know.
Yeah.
Because there's still a record label taking all the cash.
That's true. I used to spend $200-$300 a month on CDs. Mm. Now I spend $60,000 a month on my Spotify subscription. I haven't bought a CD in 4 years, at least.
And let's just take a moment to appreciate that you have millions of songs. Just, I mean, how often would you be chatting to a friend at a bra or something and you have some music listening? Oh, what about this song? You quickly queue it up next.
Yeah.
And that brings me to probably one of my favorite features about this platform. It's negated the need to have a Bluetooth receiver connected to any speaker. So I don't have a smart home or anything like that. So I've got just speakers connected to my PCs. Mm-hmm. And if I have Spotify running on that machine, I can control it from my phone, which is fantastic. Yes. Anywhere where I am.
Yeah.
So if you're doing a little social get together, you can just, you know, keep queuing music. If somebody's talking about a tune, I love just adding, queuing it up, and then it comes up in a few minutes. It's
the thing that really got me stuck on the platform and will probably keep me on the platform is the Discover Weekly functionality where it puts up 20 or 30 songs that based on your previous listening history it thinks you'll like, and it's so accurate, so good. I've discovered so much new music that way.
Yeah, the music discovery is the one thing. I mean, there's nothing better than finding, like, as we were talking about the music at the end before the show, you know, when somebody introduces me to a new song, it's like, oh, I need to listen to this because I love finding that new thing. Now, Shazam integration is great for that because you can, I don't know if you saw this, you can Shazam and then it creates a playlist. It's got a playlist automatically created for you. Oh. So whenever you go back to Spotify, any song you've Shazammed will just be in that playlist.
Nice.
That's a feature that's also on iTunes, but it's only recently came to Spotify.
Yeah, but also speaking about the way streaming services have, well, changed our lives. Previously, I don't know whether you remember, you had to own every song on your PC to sync it on iTunes to put it on your phone.
Yes.
Now, that was such a nightmare. And now, I don't even need that. I just pull it from the cloud, you know?
Yeah. iTunes for Windows.
I don't even plug my phone to my laptop anymore.
Everything
starts iTunes for Windows was the worst Windows program or app ever.
Look, iTunes still has a lot of problems. If you compare the interface to Spotify again, even the web interface, you know, it's the way that you search for music isn't its way that we did it 15 years ago when iTunes first came out. The user interface plays a big role in how you discover new music, other artists you listen to. I mean, when I'm bored and I just want to discover, like, listen to some cool 70s tunes, for argument's sake, I can just go to a Led Zeppelin and people also listen to. And then it's so easy to, it's not just line by line. Like, you have these visual icons. It's like browsing through a record store and then being able to listen to that thing immediately.
They do it so well. Nafisa, what's your app pick of the year?
So mine is a watch app, which is Fitbit Pay. I feel like I'm obsessed with banking and money, but I just love anything that changes my habits and makes my life easy and convenient. And I love Fitbit Pay because I don't have to take my wallet out anymore. And a lot of my shopping decisions are now based on point of sales in certain stores that accept these contactless payments, like Food Lovers Market or Pick and Pay or Spa, whatever. I'm more likely now to go to those shops and do my grocery shopping, which is general things.
It integrates with F&B.
Yes. So currently, the Garmin and Fitbit Pay only works with F&B and Rand Merchant Bank.
Okay. Interesting, because Samsung Pay hasn't come to F&B yet.
No, I feel like there's some kind of rivalry there.
Yeah, I get that impression too.
Like
in the financial service industry? Yes, always.
And you know, I feel F&B also likes having their big events like Apple, where they're the first to announce it. They're not going to allow a manufacturer to say, we're being supported, you know? So, so that for me, I was looking at my list of stuff I bought. In the out of the 8 places I swiped my card once at Mall of Africa, 7 were on the watch.
Wow.
It was just one store that didn't have this contactless.
It makes so much sense. I mean, Tap to Pay has already made my life so much
It's been around
easier.
For so long. It's the same, that little Wi-Fi signal that you see. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. You're tapping your watch instead of your card.
It just seems so much more efficient.
It's like so life-changing for me.
My pick in the podcast last week, have you come across it? It's called Stocard.
Oh, I've vlogged about that. Yes, I love Stocard.
Stocard's
brilliant. Yes, I use that everywhere.
I'm apparently the only person that doesn't use Stocard.
I only discovered it the other day.
Oh, I was actually... Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, no, I have everything on it. So I was in Taipo a few weeks ago and I showed her my loyalty card on the Stocard app. I showed her a voucher over email and I paid with my watch and she was literally... She said she didn't have any words.
I mean, so she didn't even know about it.
Yeah, a lot of people don't. The cashiers, I don't think they know about these apps. Like Stocard, I don't think any store in South Africa actually punks it. But yeah, I've got all my apps, cards on it, loyalty cards, even Clicks, Woolworths.
Yeah.
Discam.
My wallet is so much lighter.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
I wonder we need a 4,000 milliamp hour battery because you're going to whip out your phone so much more just to show the card and tap. And
It's called the Mate 20 Pro. that's a good pick. That's a great pick. It's going to be interesting to see when Samsung Pay comes to F&B.
I hope that happens.
If they do launch it, it'll probably do it very quickly.
Yeah, I'm happy to use as many services that support me not taking my card out of my wallet. Yeah, I'll sign up for them all. Like I'm using Zapper and SnapScan.
Zapper's fantastic. And SnapScan.
Yeah, I love them all equally,
Like a good streaming service, you actually have two or three, right?
Whenever I'm in a restaurant now and I've got a SnapScan, it's usually a Zapper in Joburg. Mm. Option. I use that because I've had card skimmed a number of times over the last 20 years or so, and it's always been in restaurants.
Prevents that.
Security is a main thing, but also it's just cool to use tech that you don't like. It feels like you're not paying, but you are.
Yeah.
Little hidden trick there.
Yeah.
Oh, interestingly, speaking about these payment apps, I was in Discam the other day and they all had Zapper QR codes by the till points. I thought that was unique and interesting. If they can do it, every retailer should do it.
Yeah, that is very interesting.
I've never seen that. Like, you normally would find them in food markets and festivals.
Is it an auto-generated thing or is it like a little sticker as well? So it's a static QR code.
It's like a cardboard calendar type thing next to the till.
I wonder how it quickly...
Put the price in.
I wonder how it reflects on their till point to say it's been paid, or do you just show them? You know what I'm saying? I'm sure it's integrated.
I think you show them.
Interesting.
That's nice. Zapper should be everywhere.
That was exactly what I thought.
Yeah. I would pay with... I mean, that's such a convenient...
And it's, if you think about it, it's the easiest way for people to then upgrade to NFC, the next technology, or touch to pay. Because if you have these QR codes everywhere, it's essentially just a sticker, right? The next thing is just to get a QR code sticker or a till point with a little metal bit that you touch and tap.
I feel if one can do it, everyone can do it.
Yeah.
definitely.
And e-commerce websites should do it as well. When you get to the checkout point, there should be a Zapper or a SnapScan.
I think Yuppie Chef does it and take a lot. They do support.
Just take a lot. Yeah. Okay.
Well, that's unfortunate to developers. There's not enough plugins. Nobody develops a nice plugin that these smaller guys can just plug into their WooCommerce store. That's
Zapper should offer that. SnapScan should offer that.
Yeah, MasterPass does it and verified by Visa.
MasterPass, what happened to those guys? Are they still around?
Yeah. It just stopped working on my phone once and I tried and tried. I just deleted it.
Well, that's interesting. You don't see the chatter about that.
Yeah.
I mean, Yoko is another one. If you're talking about these things, we need to mention. I mean, there's little...
But that's got a hardware thing, right?
Yeah, but still, I mean, these guys... If you're looking at what SnapScan and Zapper does versus what... There's still that barrier, right? A lot of people won't install Zapper. What's this? I'm not going to pay with it. I'm going to put my app details on it. But this thing is just a hardware equivalent of that.
No, you're right, because I don't carry cash in. Yeah,
I mean, everybody that doesn't have a QR code has to have one of these little Yoko machines. And again, there's what the apps are Pebble, but we are digressing, yeah? A lot of tech in the payment space.
So my pick for app of the year is Signal, the instant messaging app. Do any of you guys use Signal?
I do have it, and there aren't enough contacts on it to use it.
Look, I've just seen people adding and adding and adding through this year. I'd say a third of my contacts are now on Signal.
Maybe more than Telegram?
More than Telegram, for
sure. Okay.
I was going to ask, what happened to Telegram? Because Telegram was the thing we spoke
slowly
about.
Slowly fading away, I think.
That's the only one I use in that space.
Yeah, I've uninstalled it. I was using it all year. I had one contact left on there, and he stopped using it, so I just uninstalled it. But Signal is ultra secure. It has a great feature called disappearing messages, which you can set to 10 seconds or 1 week. Yeah, self-destruct. And I'm seeing more and more people using it. And, you know, with the worries about WhatsApp being owned by Facebook and all the troubles Facebook is facing, and also Facebook's stated intention to start to monetize WhatsApp, I'm glad to see more and more people are adopting Signal and that there's a viable competitor emerging to Facebook and WhatsApp. That's my pick of the year. Signal, it's a great app, and if you don't use it, get it. And a lot of people, you'll be surprised how many people are on there now.
Can you sign off every message you send to somebody with, if you don't reply, if you choose to accept this mission, this message will self-destruct?
I wish all the important people in my life were on Signal. Like I hate WhatsApp. I mean,
really? Well, just because of the groups.
Because of Facebook. I hate anything Facebook touches.
Signal also, by the way, is very good at voice over IP calls. It's the best voice over IP calls I've heard. The quality is absolutely stunning. I mean, it sounds like you're in the same room with someone else.
Interesting.
And over mobile as well, not just over fixed line. So there we go. Signal's my app of the year. Spotify's Rehearts and Fitbit Pay is Nafisa's. Now let's move on to a category which I'm actually very excited about and to hear more about, because I don't know. I actually haven't heard any of these other shows that have been picked here. And that's the category of TV series of the year. Let's do runners up first. The Haunting of Hill House is your runner up, Nafisa.
Yes. I think people think, okay, sure, there's some horror aspects to it, but I think they use horror as a metaphor for mental illness, and it was one of the shows that did it so well. I don't think a lot of people are like, oh no, it's too scary, they're going to get spooked, but not really. As you watch it, you realize what the message is, and it was just such a brilliant show. And there were so many things after the fact that you watch, you need to go up on YouTube and see the things that you missed, like there were hidden ghosts everywhere. I feel like, well, I'm not a TV series reviewer, but it's such a good show. I binged it in 2 days, I think.
That's usually a good sign.
Yeah, and also there's been a lot of articles written about it already and how good it is. So if you actually haven't, Duncan, you should watch it.
Okay. No, we haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. The characters, you see them in different stages in their lives, when they were younger and when they were older. Obviously, don't want to give too much away, but the acting is really, really good from the younger cast.
Great stuff.
Yeah.
The Haunting of Hill House. Is that on Netflix?
Yes, it is.
Richard, what's your runner-up pick?
So I thought I'd also break tradition a little bit. And let's be honest, YouTube is, you know, the next frontier in how we consume.
Well, they're starting to make original content.
Content, yeah. But my daily dose of YouTube guilty pleasure is a YouTuber called David Dobrik. Now, if you haven't heard of this guy, it definitely isn't for everybody in terms of the YouTube style, but... I think his viewership probably beats every other viewership on this list of TV shows that we've got at about 4 to 6 million per episode every day.
Wow.
He does three times a week, but still 4 or 5 million episodes, 4 to 5 million views per episode. That's a lot. I mean, it's a short dose. Every episode is 4 minutes, 20 seconds long.
What is it?
You can read into
what
it. It's kind of short comedy skits. It's just about these. Difficult to explain if you're not into kind of YouTube vlogging style YouTubers. Mm-hmm. But it's basically a bunch of people that just create content. They random stuff. I mean, this could be anything from buying somebody a car to just going to Las Vegas to bet money on something to give somebody some cash. You know, it's all random stuff, and you kind of have to kind of get into it if you're into that kind of comedic style on YouTube. But I'm not the only one who thinks so. Clearly, he just broke 10 million subscribers as well. So he's definitely one of the guys. What I find interesting is the way that these guys are creating content, and the absolute pull power that they have. He's by no means the only YouTuber that does this kind of thing. Mm. And there's a lot of other guys who probably pulls more people, but it's a fascinating and well worth checking out. And there's some good content on there. I mean, David Dobrik is just one that I enjoy, and it's more comedic slant, but there's a lot of serious stuff out there. Joe Rogan also, a great podcast, really intellectual conversation. And from there, you know, you can just go deep and follow whoever he interviews. Mm-hmm. So YouTube and David Dobrik, well worth checking out on my second.
Yeah, I only picked up Joe Rogan actually after the Elon Musk interview. And I've listened to quite a few of his since then. He's good.
Mm. He's good. Comments. It's the people he's got on.
My pick for runner-up TV series of the year is a Showmax original, Tali's Wedding Diary.
Good.
It was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was good.
I haven't watched it.
I wasn't expecting much from it.
I loved the South African humor.
It was very funny.
Everybody that watched it raved about it. Yeah.
So you got something to do this holiday.
No, PUBG is happening this holiday.
One track mind. But it was surprisingly good, Tali's Wedding Diary. And I see there's a new Showmax original coming out soon. I forgot what it's called. Something about St. Agnes.
Oh, okay.
Coming out early next year.
Is it a comedy?
Murder mystery.
Oh, okay.
Mm. But based on the strength of Tali's Wedding Diary, I'll give this one a go as well.
Yeah, I'll probably check it out too.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
The Girl from St. Agnes, I think is what it's called.
Okay. Mm.
Didn't Netflix also produce they're producing a local?
Yes.
They did. First local now? Or did they produce already or something?
They announced they're making a movie with Pearl 2C. I forget the name of it.
Is it a movie?
A movie, I think, yeah.
Series. Oh, interesting.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be out next year sometime. TV series of the year, Nafisa.
Okay, I love, you know, these political stand-up comedies, like your John Oliver's. So this was
yes.
This is Hasan Minhaj.
Oliver.
Yes. So Hasan Minhaj used to be on The Daily Show as a correspondent, and he's now got his own show. He's done a few stand-up stuff, which I absolutely loved. He's got such a unique way of telling stories. And his new Patriot Act, it tackles all these important issues globally and in America, like the Saudi Arabia thing and just also pop culture stuff and social media. He does it in such a way, I feel like it's so unique to him. And it's funny, and he's so deadpan with his jokes. And I just can't rave about it enough. If you haven't seen it, it's also, like I said, like current and topical. So you can identify with everything he's saying. And like also very in-depth, very well-researched on all the topics. Like stuff, he goes really back in time, and I like the visuals and the way he explains it. But like I said, it's still a comedy, so it's really good.
Nice. Where is it on?
Oh, it's on Netflix. Sorry.
On Netflix.
Oh, I'll check that out.
Yeah. I'll definitely get the different recommendations to you guys.
I think there's about 7 or 8 episodes only, nice, so it's nice. Quick. You can watch it like 20, 25, 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You'll watch it in a day, really.
Mm-hmm. Busy watching The Kaminsky Method with Michael Douglas. Have you seen that?
No.
It's just released on Netflix.
Cool.
Also
okay.
20, 25-minute episodes. Comedy, very good.
Okay, I'll check that out.
Also highly recommended.
I like quick comedy episodes also. Mm. Easy watches.
Yeah, because sometimes you don't feel like watching an hour-long
sometimes
drama.
You want to switch off on the real world.
Exactly. David Dobrik, guys, that's why I watch it. 4 minutes
I'll
each
definitely
episode.
I'll definitely check it out.
Richard, what's your pick of TV series of 2018?
So coming from one of my all-time favorite creators, Seth MacFarlane, The Orville.
Seth MacFarlane.
Family Guy.
Family Guy, all right.
American Dad. So he's, and also A Million Ways to Die in the West. I don't know if you've seen that.
No.
It came out a few years ago. Fantastically
funny. Yeah, I'm familiar with his stuff.
So The Orville is, it's kind of, it's a Star Trek-esque show, but with a slight comedy twist to it. Mm-hmm. It's not a comedy outright, but it's kind of, if you appreciate what Seth MacFarlane does with his kind of comedy style, comedic style, it's kind of a sci-fi in the same Star Trek vein. I mean, it's very similar in terms of story. I mean, he's a big Star Trek
fan. Out of space.
Yeah, set in outer space. Also, a similar kind of ship. They go out into the universe and kind of discover these new and interesting things. Always like a mission. Always somebody to rescue. Like it's kind of the same premise, but it's just taken in slightly different directions. It's a lot of fun.
That sounds right up my alley.
Yeah, I think you'll really enjoy it.
Is it a streaming one?
Pardon?
Sorry, or where's it streaming?
I saw it on DSTV. It wasn't on any streaming platform. It's on. That's why I only watched a few episodes of it, but I watched the first season, mm-hmm. and it was fantastic. Yeah. So, well worth checking out. It actually came out last year, I think, but only showed in South Africa this year, from what I understand.
Okay.
And I haven't seen it anywhere else, which is quite weird. And like nobody else has heard of it, which is even weirder. Like,
I've never heard of it.
I also haven't.
It is very strange. Anyway, The Orville is well worth checking out.
I'll have to find it somewhere.
Hmm.
Maybe it's on DSTV catch up still.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Mm. Might be. I don't know.
Hmm.
If anybody can tell us, SMS now.
SMS, what's that? My pick of TV series of the year, something I actually finished quite recently. Do you like westerns?
Spaghetti westerns, maybe.
Depends.
Depends what it is. My pick is Godless, which is a Netflix western starring Jeff Daniels and various other famous actors. Jeff Daniels putting on one of his best performances ever as this haggard, evil man who traverses the West. It's an interesting story. It's a very slow builder. The first three episodes, you're probably going to trudge through a little bit, but it's well worth it for the full season. And the final episode, where the whole confrontation goes down with the small town run by women, whose husbands had passed away in a mining accident. It's beautifully shot. The cinematography is absolutely amazing. If you enjoyed No Country for Old Men, I think you'll really enjoy this show. It's called Godless. It's on Netflix. Be warned, it's a slow builder, but it's a fantastic show. Fantastic Western.
Okay, something else worth checking out also.
Mm.
Yeah, Western's into, is it? Western's is kind of making a comeback. It's the Red Dead Redemption, right? So it's the theme of the moment.
And of course, the new Coen Brothers film of vignettes, which I watched the other evening, The Ballad of Billy Scruggs, also on Netflix. Well worth watching. There's five or six vignettes that make up the movie.
Cool.
So self-contained stories, and a few of them are really good indeed. Great actors as well. My favorite scene was the one with Tom Waits playing a gold panner in the Old West.
Nice. So fitting.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant show and movie. A couple of the skits perhaps fell a bit short, but the Ballad of Billy Scruggs, well worth watching this holiday if you haven't seen it yet. Right. The biggest local news story of the year. Rechot.
Look, I was thinking of tech-related specifically, but the biggest thing that I think that had impact on so much was state capture.
Mm-hmm.
And it just had impact on so many other news stories that we had this year. I mean, we can talk for hours, I guess, and we have spoken a lot of it in the tech side. But I was jokingly saying we nearly had a Sahara Computers only distribution warehouse in South Africa. That could have been not good for us IT lovers. But yeah, I'm glad we avoided, I think, some of it, but we're not out of it. There's still so much we need to weed out.
Not out of the woods yet.
Yeah. There's still so much that needs to come to light.
Yeah.
At least everybody's speaking about it, and I think that's an important thing.
Almost exactly a year ago that Ramaphosa won the ANC elective conference.
Mm.
Can you imagine where we would be today as a country if Zuma's choice had won?
Oh, man.
25 rand to the dollar, anyone?
Nightmare.
Your new iPhone would cost you 50,000 rand. state capture. I was watching a lot of that on YouTube, which actually YouTube has become a great platform for watching a lot of this stuff. You know, the TV 24-hour news channels on DSTV don't always carry this stuff, certainly not all the time. And there's a lot of stuff out of Parliament, the State Capture Commission, a lot of other hearings that have happened this year. And they're all broadcast on YouTube, and you can sit at your desk and watch them, which is fantastic.
You're getting a lot of local commentary as well, local guys coming up now, creating channels to talk not just about tech and gadgets and things, but politics and what's, I mean, obviously good and bad. But
yeah, like every evening YouTube is one of the things I watch to see what's all the channels I've subscribed to, you know? Mm. That's my TV.
Yeah, I love it.
Mm. Nafisa, what's your pick for local news story of the year?
When MultiChoice blamed Netflix for losing their 100,000 premium subscribers. I mean, how could they not see this coming? And like, you see all these industries that are being disrupted. Like, you just need to make a better product. You can't blame an existing service for your shortfall, you know? I think it just irritated me so much. I'm so passionate about it. Like, build a better product, move over, migrate, do something. Offer, like, I mean, they have Showmax, so I don't know how they can blame Netflix when Showmax is like the same thing.
Yeah.
That's also another issue for me.
Not as good.
No, we're not talking about the quality of the content. Both are streaming services. You can't blame one. If you're not blaming your own, why is it because your content is not good enough?
Yeah.
Like,
and they've obviously got the content we all want, that super sport channels, right? So, yes. I mean, if they could figure that one
just
out,
strip it
this
out.
Wouldn't have been an
issue.
Yes,
exactly. I feel like there are, I wouldn't say easy solutions, but obvious ones. And just do it. Just adapt to the way people watch TV. I think like with the DSTV now, they're kind of moving that way.
Mm.
But I do think they need to break away from the sporting because a lot of people, that's what's keeping them on there.
Exactly.
But and like you can't cry about it and blame another big American company.
And also, we've been talking about Netflix. I mean, I cut the cord 2007 and 8 something. I mean, we were speaking about this back then already. This isn't like just came up in 2015.
Yeah, and then 2018, they go and blame Netflix. It's actually such a joke, really.
Yeah. But you're right about the Supersport thing because I think people are unhappy because a lot of people just want to watch sport and they have to buy the entire package of all the entertainment channels and everything else that comes with it. And a lot of people are unhappy because they're getting sport when they don't necessarily want the sport. They want maybe Mnet and a couple of movie channels and then they have to buy Supersport 1 to 12. So they're annoying everybody in the process.
Yeah, just remove Supersport, start it on its own because then everybody else would watch stuff on Netflix and then they'll only pay for Supersport.
Mm. And they could charge a lot for it. They could charge a lot for it. They could charge $400 or $500 a month for Supersport.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look, I would totally also do pay-per-view, like we said before, like big matches. I would pay ticket prices for that type of thing.
Yeah.
To watch, because that's the only thing I watch. Big Springbok games, for example.
Yeah.
I don't really want to subscribe to DSTV.
Like a pay-as-you-go type thing,
But there are a lot of sports crazy people out there who don't want the rest of the DSTV bouquet. Yeah. And they easily pay $500 a month.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, then you also need to look at the people that broadcast it. The shops and pubs and those places. I mean, they also in the same predicament, just in a business sense. So obviously they could potentially pay more because if they're broadcasting to a bunch of people broadcasting the games to a bunch of people, you know, I guess there's an equally shared revenue model or something that needs to happen. So DSTV can, you know, that can always be the best interest for the business owner, I guess, if he needs to pay a bit more. But having said that, it brings in business to his
I think it's a bit unfair to make businesses pay more.
No, but I mean, if you think about it, like pay-per-view
it's your restaurant, like whatever.
What I'm saying is if you're broadcasting it, like you can't just hire a DVD and broadcast it to 50 people and charge for it. That's illegal, right? You have to get the license to broadcast it for the correct...
Oh, you mean where people have to pay to go and watch?
I mean, if a business only wants a rugby channel give it access, give them access to it. They might pay the same as a full subscription or something, but there's no... avenue for that at the moment.
There are business, they do have business deals.
Some hotels do have like
hotels
obscure channels.
Even pubs, I think they pay a DSTV business for a DSTV license. Business package.
But they still probably get a lot of channels. It's not just for one.
I actually don't know. So my pick of biggest local news story of the year is the Electronic Communications Amendment Bill, and this is a very dry topic, but it had a huge impact this year and is going to continue to have a big impact next year. A very poorly conceived piece of legislation that's making its way through the parliamentary processes, and it's going to have a huge and possibly very detrimental impact on the telecommunications industry if it's introduced into legislation as it currently stands. I do think that was the biggest local story of the year and will probably continue to be so, at least for the first half of next year. But we'll keep an eye on that one. International news story of the year, Rehot.
Well, I think we can't get away from this one. Privacy and data leaks and what our information does on the internet. And there were so many cases of news.
There were big leaks.
Examples, big leaks. South Africa, Liberty. There was a lot of Liberty. Yeah, local, a lot of local ones. And again, I think the conversation about our privacy and what we do with our data has certainly made people think twice, and a lot of people that I know, about how they use their data.
Mm.
It hasn't really changed my habits, to be honest, because I'm so entrenched in everything online already. They probably have all my data in any case, so changing my habits now isn't really going to make a big difference. But just where we store our data and who owns it and what we do, what we sign up for. If we go to and this is particularly aimed at Facebook too, because I've used that sign up with Facebook button so often, it just made so much sense. And all these little things just don't seem like anything out of the ordinary. But once something goes wrong, like we've seen this year, things go really wrong. I've heard a few journalists actually say that they don't worry about the privacy anymore because they realize they don't have privacy anymore. So, you know, that's the other part of the argument that's quite interesting. I don't know quite where I stand on that. Obviously, I don't want all my data out there, but definitely, it's definitely up to us to better manage that, I think. Mm.
It's no doubt Facebook is at a very bad year.
Very bad, yeah.
That's your pick as well.
Yeah, similarly to Rehat, the whole Facebook Cambridge Analytica scandal. But speaking about privacy, obviously I despise Facebook now. I'm not on it. And
you're not on it? You quit it?
Before the scandal came
out. Oh, okay.
Yes, yes. I'm not on it. I'm also, I think, you know, with Facebook having the whole sign up button, I was actually the opposite of you, Rehat. I never trusted that. I always look for email signups to any service. I just feel like I could never trust Facebook. Like, I've been with them since, I think, 2007. So I've seen everything they've done and how they just don't care. So I would never have trusted them with, even though I filtered out what information I put out there, I still never trusted them to log into another service. I think Airbnb was the only one I did because at the time that was the only way to get on to verify yourself. Okay. But since then I've removed that login. I've created a separate one. Yes, but this whole scandal about how they misused people's information. But for me, the thing was they lied about so many things. Like, I cannot believe Sheryl Sandberg and Mark Zuckerberg are still in their positions with no accountability. They just get away doing everything. And just yesterday, I think, or this morning, I tweeted another privacy issue.
Yeah, there's another one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. It's like this year wouldn't be over if there isn't a few more.
Probably can find some big Christmas Day breach.
So yeah, that's like so major. Like, I feel like people who are, I don't know whether either of you are still on Facebook, but if you're still on it after everything, then you obviously don't care about what's happening to your data.
I'm on Facebook, but I've stopped posting
personal stuff. Okay.
I've stopped posting.
Oh, you stopped posting.
I'm on Facebook for a lot of reasons, and work is definitely part of it.
Yeah.
It is definitely about what you show on Facebook. I share some photographs and some updates and things that's important to me.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of things I won't. I mean, I see people still posting tickets to concerts and credit cards and like it's random stuff you see people doing. And that is obviously where the issue comes in.
Yes.
I don't keep a repository of all my data on there or anything important. It's, again, just know the platform and use it accordingly.
If I had kids, I would not post pictures of them on Facebook.
Yeah, I think that's very scary thing.
I've seen a lot of people
not doing that. A lot of people share photos of their kids, even on Instagram, wherever. Mm.
Yeah, and that's obviously, I mean, it's, that's a hot
especially if the topic. Account is not private. I mean, if it's private, then it's fine.
Mm. Well, is it?
A locked account, sorry, so other people don't steal photos of your kids. Because happens.
Yeah. Right.
But yeah, I think this year also shed some light on privacy. And
yeah.
I always read, I know I'm so boring, but I read all the terms and conditions. And there are many services I have not signed up for because I didn't actually agree with the stuff I read, and some services locally, when they ask for your cell phone number, I put fake ones, except for my like banking stuff that you know you need a one-time PIN.
Yeah.
But for most of it, like, I can't remember where, like, if you're in an airport or somewhere you need Wi-Fi, then I wouldn't give my real number. I actually put fake email addresses for the free Wi-Fi.
So you never get that PIN they send you to get into the Wi-Fi?
No, only for that in SMS roaming. If I then I'll use that. But
no, I agree with you. I mean, I think the big thing is just people are just out to get your data.
Yeah.
I mean, you can buy databases of people's phone numbers or whatever these days, apparently, because I get, every now and then, I get SMSs from, like, the weirdest companies. Same. I obviously try and stop and opt out every time. Especially but it's in waves. It's like, it happens, like, now, and then I wait here another few months, and then it happens again. I don't know. I mean,
but you never know. Like, recently, I think it was Cathay Pacific, one of these airlines, they also got hacked, and people's credit card and passport info would have been revealed to the hackers. It's scary.
Look, I think that age-old saying where if you don't want to put it out in public, don't put it on the internet, right? And I know you can't always get away from it. Like, if you back up your stuff onto Dropbox, I mean, it's going to be private stuff you put on there, it's backed up. But on Facebook, for example, if you don't want those raunchy photographs to come out or those comments you make about somebody, I mean, every day somebody's get fired because they said something stupid on Facebook. You know, it's common sense. If common sense doesn't prevail, then I guess you are going to be hurt.
Also, I think it was Chris Rock who said there's an app that shows you who your friends are. Oh, which of your friends are racist? <It's> Facebook.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah, call everybody out on that too.
Yeah, exactly. It's like where all the News 24 comments went to die.
Yeah, look, the internet certainly has shown us that there's a lot of stupid out there. Mm. And because we're living in such a PC world, you know, we don't have a survival of the fittest anymore. You know, it's just everybody's just kind of pushed forward.
Yeah,
and kind of. This is what we get, you know. If everybody has a voice, not everybody deserves to have a voice.
Well, just as well, we got this new cybersecurity bill.
It's democratizing, but yes, there's the problem with giving everyone a voice is that everyone uses their voice.
Yeah.
and stupid rises to the top. But we all tech savvy people. I mean, if we're looking back at how we use our data online, you know, we even when somebody asked me for my ID number for an invoice the other day, and I was like, what? No. Why would you want that? Obviously, I was very suspicious immediately.
Yeah.
But these things happen everybody wants your data all over wherever you go, whether you're at the ATM trying to draw money, somebody's trying to steal your card, or you're trying to get an invoice, somebody puts their ID number. We have to be so cautious about the data we put out into the world. And again, you know, if you don't want any sensitive information out there, don't put it online. Don't even take a photograph of it on your phone, because that's got a potential to leak.
So my pick of the biggest international news story of the year is the arrest in Canada of Huawei chief financial officer Meng Wanzhou. It's just a spectacular story, not just because it's the arrest of a very prominent executive from a large Chinese company, but because of the geopolitical implications of this thing. This is the U.S. Trying to extradite the chief financial officer of arguably China's most successful technology company. In the middle of a trade war that's going on between China and the U.S., we know this story. I'm not going to go through, rehash all the background, but she was arrested while Xi Jinping, the Chinese premier, was meeting with Donald Trump over bilateral trade talks in Brazil, I think it was. And it just threw a huge spanner in the works. But it's got so many ramifications and implications, especially we were speaking earlier about, countries that are stopping to use Huawei in their networks. America putting pressure on its allies around the world to shun Huawei. We don't know if there's any reason to be doing that, whether it's pure jingoism on America's part. But it's an interesting escalation of hostilities between the US and China, and I think it's going to continue to be a very big story into 2019. The continued rise of China as a challenger to America's economic dominance on the world stage.
Well, it's all about the money, eh? That's what it's
always all about the money.
It's not about the people. It's never been.
So we're getting to the end of our list of best ofs of 2018. Top three podcasts of the year on Tech Central. These are the most listened to podcasts. In third place is an interview I did with Mark and Brett Levy on the future of Blue Label Telecoms. Second most listened to podcast was an interview with Jonas Bogoshi, who was appointed this year as the new CEO of Telkom subsidiary BCX. And the most listened to podcast in 2018 was an interview with Vodacom Group CEO Shamil Jusuf, which was a wide-ranging discussion on various issues affecting Vodacom and the telecommunications industry quite broadly, and we'll include links to those in the show notes to this episode. Right, Newsmakers of the Year. Our newsmaker, international newsmaker of the year, I think it's a fairly easy choice, Elon Musk. For various reasons, not only because he smoked dope on the Joe Rogan podcast, which got international headlines and got him into all sorts of trouble, but also for his tweeting, for his, he was fined $20 million over saying that he was going to take Tesla private at $420 a share, which is apparently a reference to marijuana culture.
Losing his chairman position.
He lost Tesla. His chairmanship of Tesla, the SEC ruling, which I see he's subsequently gone onto Twitter to say that the SEC, we went onto an interview on CBS News to say he has absolutely no respect for the SEC. but he's also had a very successful year. Record number of SpaceX launches, Falcon Heavy launched.
That was beautiful.
That was a beautiful thing to watch. The Boring Company, great name.
And they just opened their tunnel.
They've just opened their tunnel into LA.
And let's forget Starman being shot into space.
Starman, of course. Yeah, they went up on Falcon Heavy.
Yeah.
Tesla, of course, he, despite against all expectations, he managed to ship what he promised on the Tesla Model, what was it, the Model C? Model 3. Model 3.
Which we're supposedly getting next year, apparently, according to his 5-word tweet.
Tesla's coming, yeah.
How many are you getting, Lisa?
How many?
One for each room. You go with your Google Home.
I have said, though, I feel like my next car should be an electric car, even though if it means waiting years.
I'm with you on that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
It makes no. Oh, golf carts are very affordable now, and you can get them really easily available.
Elon Musk. Yeah, he's had a banner year. I think it's the best way of describing it.
Everybody's hero.
And our South African newsmaker of the year. Although I don't think he's a South African national. I think he's Dutch. But that's Bob van Dijk. who is the Group CEO of Naspers, and he's also had a very busy year. Sold 2% of Tencent for something like $10 billion, unloaded Flipkart in India for another ridiculous amount of money, made a number of major acquisitions, and of course announced that Naspers would unbundle MultiChoice next year in a JSE listing. So he's certainly had a banner year. And of course he announced the plans to invest billions of rand into local tech startups next year.
Billions,
3.4 billion. In total, I think, through the Naspers Foundry. Some of that money will be going into existing Naspers investments like Takealot, but they've also set aside a big chunk of money, something like 1.2 or 1.4 billion rand for non-Naspers-owned startups in South Africa.
Okay.
So, banner year from Bob van Dijk as well, of Naspers, and he's our South African newsmaker of the year. And our last two categories, winner and loser of the year. Let's start with winner of the year. The winner of the year is Netflix. They've just had a fantastic year. They've just grown and grown and grown and grown. Great original programming. Not much more else to say on them. They're just challenging the incumbents in a big way.
And every show I feel like I'm recommending to people are just on Netflix. It's like, how many should I watch Netflix? But if they make it so easy to discover and watch. You just open your TV and you see the new highlighted thing. And you, like yesterday, I saw Jimmy Carr has a new segment, The Fix. I went into Netflix to look at something else, to favorite something to watch later. And I just saw this, The Fix, and I went straight into it and started watching it.
It is brilliant. And also, one of the my favorite things about Netflix is the way that it just performs on every device, on any
buffering.
Connection.
While Showmax buffers.
I think that is the thing that's the value right there, how their technology works in the back end.
That's true.
Because I mean, also that menu system is just beautiful, and just the way it works is fantastic. Love it.
So they are a winner of the year, Netflix, and there was lots to choose from for our loser of the year this year.
Pick a category first.
Runner-ups in this category, and they could easily have made loser of the year, but I think one stood out slightly more than the others. MTN had a terrible year again. Thanks to its problems up in Nigeria. It's still fighting a $10 billion fine. It just seems like the company can't catch a break up there.
Yeah.
Facebook, we've spoken about their travails this year.
They'll always be a loser.
How do you really feel that?
No, please don't hold back.
That really has been the worst year for Facebook since its founding this year. Just scandal after scandal after scandal. And then, of course, there's Bitcoin and the whole cryptocurrency market, which fell out of bed this year. This time last year, it was sitting at, I think it was just peaking around about this time last year, about $20,000. I remember I was on holiday around this time last year. I was sitting down on the garden route, and it was a rainy day outside, and there was not much to do. So I thought, well, let me just play around. And I was looking at Bitcoin. It's like, whoa, this thing has run up like crazy. Maybe I should buy some. It was sitting at $19,000. I thought, maybe I should buy some. And then my wife said, no, let's go do something. So I put my computer away and I didn't buy Bitcoin. And literally the next day or the day after, it started falling. And I did end up buying some, but much later in the year. I bought it about $6,500, $7,000. So I've lost half of it. It's about 3.5 now. But I'm holding. I'm hodling. I do think it's overdone. Although it is gambling at the end of the day. And I knew it was gambling when I bought it. It could go to zero. I don't think it will go to zero, but it could go to zero.
Yeah, as long as you know upfront what you're doing.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you don't put in so much down, it's going to really hurt you financially. But Bitcoin, what an awful year. And it wasn't the worst performing cryptocurrencies. Others did even worse. Ethereum was down over 90% this year.
Sure. What is the future of cryptocurrencies holding for 2019?
I only have very little of both, so. Yeah. It's like I said, it's just for play, just for fun to see what's happening. Yeah.
No one really knows the true value. But there was one company that stood out above all of these losers of 2018. And if you haven't guessed by now, that is our national electricity utility, Eskom, which couldn't keep the lights on.
I think the whole country agrees with that choice.
And now apparently load shedding is over. Like, we don't need to load shed.
Yeah, apparently.
For a few weeks. It's back mid-January.
The fact that we had to load shed on a Sunday was
And some people
worrying.
Think twice in a day. Crazy.
Yeah,
and like all the tourists who are here. Last year it was no water.
Yeah. I mean, if you can't keep your lights on, I mean, geez, it's the most basic thing. The economy is so dependent on it. You don't have electricity, you don't have an economy. It's as simple as that. And you know, can you imagine trying to run a mobile network or a data center in this sort of environment?
Actually, that's what bothered me when we got load shedded 2 weeks ago. I had a deadline. I was like, oh, now this is happening. And then I didn't have signal because the towers were all down. It's like, what do you do with your life? I just took a nap.
I was going to say, go to a coffee shop.
Yeah.
There goes productivity. I think a lot of people.
I decided then I'll work in the afternoon, but it's like so irritating.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and we just kind of single people working. Imagine a factory having to halt. 100 people can't do anything.
A whole office,
company has to pay. You know, can't meet their deadlines. Yeah. And it's
and then they're paying people to be there and not do anything.
I mean, imagine all these energy intensive businesses like the BMW plant in Pretoria. I mean, you can't run that thing on backup.
Yeah, and how much does it cost you every time that machine
you have to power it down? Yeah, it probably takes time to power up as well.
Well, I was surprised I was load shed because I'm on a hospital grid. So then you know things are bad.
But you live next to Megawatt Park.
Exactly, that too. And Sunnyhill Hospital.
You're on the actual grid, if that's
and
off.
And I got load shed, I think, 3 times, which I found weird.
And they're not making it easy for people to produce electricity at home either. I mean, what was the story in
Cape
Town? Western Cape now that
you have to register? That is such a joke.
Stupid.
I mean, encourage this. If you can't produce power, encourage people to produce.
And we should be allowed to sell it back into the grid. Yes. Exactly.
Somebody commented on Twitter, I forget who, obviously, that City of Cape Town obviously wants you to pay to register to use the sun. Like, you know, you must register to use the sun.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's crazy. What?
Like, I can't fathom that. I've got a solar geyser. And, like, I wouldn't think of registering it. Why?
No, but that doesn't make any sense. I mean, you're not if we had the cheapest electricity in the world and everything ran fine, then you can
make. But if I want to buy one and I want to have it,
then you can almost say, okay, it's a competitive thing that they want to prevent. But they can't say that. It's not.
They can't stop you from making your own choice. Yeah, exactly.
Ah, Eskom, losers.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our show. Hope you've enjoyed this extended episode of the show. We've gone through the list, haven't we? TV series, newsmakers, news stories, apps, smartphones, gadgets, etc.
Can I just add one more thing?
Of course.
My favorite movie of the year. Black Panther, obviously.
Black Panther, I haven't seen it. Is that a Marvel thing?
Yes, it is. Yeah. That's why you wouldn't, because I know you're not a fan.
I don't watch Marvel, no. I do not.
It's on the list. It's on the holiday watching list. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Between playing Fortnite and
I do it while I play.
Second screen.
Third screen.
Do you want to throw in a movie pick while we're still here, Richard?
Did Ready Player One come out this year? Hey, Ready Player One.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, it did.
I actually haven't seen it.
That's a fantastic movie. Mm-hmm. That was really the one that kind of made me. One of those movies that make you think afterwards. And I went back to watch it again. Yeah,
I didn't think much of it. Okay,
Just the implications of it. Yes. There's a lot of stuff in there. So if you see it, you always see new characters and things in there because I had this just. All these pop culture things coming together.
Oh, no, I'll watch it on holidays.
It's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Is that a Spielberg movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically about AR, based on a book.
I must watch it as well. Yeah, I've been meaning to watch it. I just haven't got around to it.
So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, as techies, you'll appreciate just.
Yeah, I think so from the trailers.
All the little things in there, yeah. And the soundtrack's fantastic.
And your movie?
You're thinking?
I haven't watched many movies this year, actually, to be honest. I've been watching
on Netflix.
A lot more TV series, exactly. But I did enjoy The Ballad of Buster Scruggs on Netflix. That was really good.
Nice. I think movies versus TV series, I prefer TV series because it's kind of...
Yeah, they're different.
A little bit drawn out. Some movies you want to like watch as a movie, maybe nostalgia, like a Matrix or something, just for a good old time.
There aren't as many good movies as there used to be, though.
So many remakes. No. Like, no original stories.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Everything is a remake now.
Mm.
How often do you see an original?
I think the animations are the most original stuff we've been seeing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Although the only reason I went to the cinema so often this year is all these superhero movies that I'm just so sucker for.
Yeah, it's still a lot of fun to go.
Yeah.
Go to the movies. It's an experience.
Mm.
But yeah, the titles.
Yeah.
The big titles just not there. I think a lot of budget has been moved to the shorter TV series.
And like Disney's controlling everything now.
Oh yeah. We don't have a Star Wars coming out this year, hey?
No.
But a lot of the movie actors and even directors are moving to television.
Yeah. I think Netflix is like paying them a lot.
Yeah.
But also I think it's better working conditions just generally. You're spreading something out. It's not 3 months of intensive making
a
movie.
Yeah.
So I think everybody likes it. I think you can get more depth into the story too. So there's a lot more to every
production qualities at movie level in some of these shows.
I think that's
absolutely.
Partly the money they throw at it, but also technology has made it possible, right? Yeah. I mean, you can just, so many guys can produce. I mean, a lot of the content you see on Netflix was produced before Netflix even touched it. It was produced and then they sell it to Netflix.
Yeah,
so
true.
Also, one last thing.
Sure. One more thing.
Yeah, one more
thing. Sound like Tim Cook.
I have a feeling, can I already pick my 2019 favorite TV show? Game of Thrones.
Oh, no.
Already?
Okay, I'm just having... You don't know.
It's going to be big.
No, you must catch up.
Mm. Yeah, there's lots to enjoy if you haven't seen.
This last season was good.
I haven't seen all of it, so I can go back and enjoy it for the first time.
I stopped at season 4. It was turning into a soap opera.
It was. I also gave up at one point and then I started again. But I think the last season is going to be very.
But there's also going to be the last one next year.
It's the last one. Only 6 episodes, like movie length.
Oh wow! Oh wow! Each episode is movie length.
Oh yeah!
Wow!
The most expensive.
Wow. Okay, maybe I should pick it up again.
No, it's well worth it. It's a lot of fun.
Mm. Or just skip a season if you think it was the poor performing one.
Can you skip one?
Read it up on Wikipedia.
Maybe fast forward scenes rather.
Yeah.
All right. Those are our picks of the year and one pick for next year. Even though it's not out yet. Right, who's choosing the song this week? I've gotten so confused. We were going to be playing Childish Gambino, which was Nafisa's pick, but unfortunately it has some swearing in it.
That was her third pick, I think. And wasn't it? You had two others.
Oh, yeah, Mike Shinoda's.
You like dirty music, dirty songs.
Hey, we said this earlier. Every single lyric in songs you say.
Standards
have dropped.
Just iTunes that needs to come to the party now and not... be too worried about this, but yeah, that was a good song.
I did look for a clean version of this This Is America by Childish Gambino, which was your pick.
Yeah, it's a really good one. I think if anyone hasn't seen it, watch the video as well. The YouTube video.
It's a bit shocking.
Yeah.
Meant to be though, of course. So Rechat, are you picking our song?
Should I?
I think you should.
All right. So this band launched their new album on Sunday, and I was very privileged to go and check them out performing this acoustically. It's called The Shadow Club, the band. Fantastic sound. I mean, they just got this. They've got this rocky blues. I don't know. I think you like it, Duncan. You know, like that kind of music. I'm not sure what kind of music you like. Dirty rap, but I think but yeah, The Shadow Club. I mean, even their previous albums are absolutely fantastic. Well worth checking out.
Joburg band.
Yeah, they're based. I think they're Joburg based. Mm. Yeah. Well, I'm sure they're based up here. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Been around for a few years. Undoubtedly recognize the sound or recognize some of the songs when you hear it. I'm just calling it up quickly because I absolutely forgot the song name. I think it's called Dog Bite, if I'm not mistaken. Just give me a second. So yeah, they launched this album on Sunday. It was absolutely fantastic to listen to. The album is called The Big Green Mamba Dream, and the song we are playing out with is called Dog Teeth from Shadow Club.
Until next year. Enjoy your holidays. Thanks so much for listening to the Talk Central podcast from Nafisa Rechart and myself, Duncan. Until next time, take care and cheers.
Catch you next year.
I'm on a roller coaster coming out of childhood heaven. I've got the only way to save the day from bad beginnings. I've gone more delightful, strange to feel no loss at winning. I'm on a roller coaster coming out of childhood. Like the way we've got water, we can stay. Raise your hands, find the silver lining. No more traps to block the way we've got water, we can stay. Thank you. found a way to be and started up a new religion.
Hey, it's Duncan here again. So in all the excitement of recording this week's podcast, we forgot to do the quiz results. So I'm back to give you the answers. Naspers said this week that it will launch a secondary listing on which stock exchange? And the answer there is A2X Markets. And which South African politician this week joined Twitter and in short order had more than 100,000 followers? And that is, of course, Jacob Zuma. Question three, which British entrepreneur this week bailed out the Bloodhound supersonic car project, which wants to use a South African desert as a staging ground for a land speed record? And his name is Ian Warhurst from Yorkshire. Fourth question, what did Elon Musk's tweet, am considering taking Tesla private at $420, funding secure, cost him? And the answer, $20 million and stepping down as Tesla chairman. Fifth question, what was Alibaba's new Singles Day record within 24 hours for 2018? And that was $30.8 billion. The sixth question in this week's bumper end-of-year quiz, according to the new Cybercrimes and Cybersecurity Bill, sharing someone's personal information on social media could land you in jail for just how long? And the answer, 3 years or a fine or both. Question seven, what is currently the second largest cryptocurrency by market cap after Bitcoin? And for a bonus point, which one is third? And the answer is XRP, also known as Ripple, and the third is Ethereum. Question eight, in 2018, which became the first technology company with a market capitalization exceeding $1 trillion? And we asked for a bonus point, which company became the second tech company to reach this milestone in 2018? And of course, it was Apple, and it was followed briefly by Amazon.com. And ninth question, which company has since overtaken both of the companies in question eight, namely Apple and Amazon, to become the most valuable company in the world? And that is Microsoft. And the last question in our bumper end-of-year quiz, what are the names of the two vulnerabilities that were discovered in January and affected nearly every CPU manufactured over the past 20 years? And we asked for a bonus point, how many variants were discovered? And the answers, Spectre and Meltdown. And the bonus, four variants, speculative store bypass variant, Meltdown and Spectre collectively made up 1 to 3 that impacts Intel, AMD, and ARM processors. And that's our bumper quiz for the last show of this year. We'll be back early in 2019. Thanks for listening to our podcast on Tech Central this year. Happy holidays, and we'll see you early in the new year. Take care and cheers.